me to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. So before I get started tonight, I thought I'd go ahead and share with y'all the fruits of our labor last week. Didn't Ben and Jeff do a great job with this picture? It's on our website now. It's on our Facebook page. You'll be able to find it online. But I thought it just turned out so nice. And isn't that just the friendliest, smilingest group of people you've ever seen? Again, Ben, Jeff, thank y'all so much for doing that. Again, it's so nice to have a picture to welcome people to. Because whenever people want to visit our congregation, it just lets them see a few friendly faces about, oh, I've seen you before. And again, thank y'all for doing that and for sitting still during that. It turned out really, really nice, and I just wanted to share it with you. So tonight, Tom and Matt are handing out outlines of the sermon this evening. I do know it's a Sunday night and I'm using PowerPoint, but it's because I'm going to take us through somewhat of a different kind of lesson tonight, and I have the slides printed out for you. What I'd like to do tonight is talk about family mission statements. That's a very formal idea that's really not that complicated. Family mission statements. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Matt. So, a few months ago now, I had a chance to sit in a seminar that was led by Art Adams. Many of you know Art. He is a preacher who is a clinical therapist, psychiatrist, very well certified and experienced to talk about various psychological issues. And he did a training for a few preachers in the area where he talked about how do you deal with anxiety in congregations? How do you deal with psychological disorders? How do you deal with suicide? How do you deal with drugs, sex, extramarital affairs, etc.? It was a really intense few hours. Some of the things that he has shared in that I've put on the back burner, especially some things he said about anxiety. I've just been simmering on trying to figure out how to present. But I learned a lot in that two-hour session. It was a very intense thing to sit through, but I'm very glad and very blessed to have sat through it. But one thing that Art talked about in that session was that almost any time he goes through therapy with a divorced couple or a couple who's about to go through divorce, they never know what the purpose of their home is. They think that they can find anything in their home in other places of the world, whether it's in their work, whether it's in another person, and they never really figure out what the purpose of their home is. Now, this morning, of course, y'all know I talked about family is for fruitfulness. I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. But the question I'd like to pose this evening is, what is the purpose of my family? This is, I think, an interesting question. In that the home and the family have a general purpose across time that's been unchanging for fruitfulness. But in your home, what is the purpose of your family? Why is your family there? What's the purpose of it? Now, to answer this, we're going to look at family mission statements. This is from the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families. I'm sure some of you have read or at least heard of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, probably the most influential leadership book in the last 100 years. He wrote many sequels to this, but one was for families. And in that, he talked about family mission statements. Let me just read this definition for you. A family mission statement is a combined, unified expression from all family members of what your family is all about, what it is you really want to do and be, and the principles you choose to govern your family life. Every family, whether they know it or not, has rules and habits and principles that underline the family interactions. 90% of the time, these are unstated. Sometimes you actually talk about them. Tonight in the sermon, what I want to do is just to get you thinking about what are the rules, the principles, the habits, the jokes, the bad habits, the good things that characterize your family. And I think if you're able to describe your family, you then are much more equipped to prescribe what you want your family to actually be. So tonight, this is going to be an interactive sermon in that I would love for you to take your own thoughts on paper as I go through the lesson. And actually, I'd like to give y'all some homework and sit down as a family and talk through these. What is the purpose of your home? Now, for some of you who live by yourselves, these are still good questions to think through. What is the purpose of your home? Well, what's it there for? Is it an open door for other people to come into? Is it there for your nourishment? What's the purpose of your home? So tonight what I'm going to do is just give you some principles to be thinking about this. And then at the end, I'll share with you the one that Jessica and I have come up with for our own home, because we went ahead and went through this together as well. So let me give you a few passages to be thinking about. In Psalm 127, of course, I'm going to reread Psalm 127 and 128. These, I think, are well worth reading again. Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like the fruitful vine within your house. Your children shall be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So you'll notice again, just two beautiful psalms, what the purpose of the home is for fruitfulness. And this reminds us then really what the purpose of the home is. The home is where the trees are planted. The home is where the trees grow. The home is where the nutrients are given. This really is the purpose of the home. How can you take the principles of these psalms and put them to practice in your own home? So what I'm going to do in the next few slides is just give you some things to think about. What are things to think about as you yourself, or perhaps with others in your family, go about writing your own family mission statement and what the purpose of your home is? And let me just say this at the beginning. Jessica and I did this last night after Brooklyn went to sleep. And whenever we first started it, I was like, well, we're more the kind of family that makes fun of families that write family mission statements. Whenever I first heard of this idea of a family mission statement, I was like, oh, brother, this is one of those self-help trust falls where you never learn anything. Y'all remember doing the trust fall in high school? Perhaps you've done these in training, organizational trainings as well. I'll tell y'all just one quick story about my trust fall. I was on a weekend trip in high school, and there was a guidance counselor, no joke, she was 6'5", and I was paired off with her in a trust fall. And I am supposed to learn principles of trust and workmanship and cooperation from that. It scared the daylights out of me. Those type activities, I have just always found like, oh, come on, y'all, these are a waste of time. Really? You're telling me I'm going to learn principles of teamwork and principles of leadership from this? I have found some of them very effective. Brad Brewer, our camp director, is excellent at picking out ones that are actually effective for team building rather than just fun. This sounded like something whenever Art Adams was telling me about it. I was like, there ain't no way I'm putting us through this. But y'all, after we actually took about an hour or so to talk through this last night, it really helped us to think through a lot of the unspoken rules of our home. A lot of things that are kind of understood between the two of us, but things that we want our children to know very well. And I think this is important for just Jessica and I, as we raise Brooklyn and then raise Camden and Adam, to be able to think through, what do we want our home to be? How do we want them to be, and what is the purpose of our home? It was actually very effective when we went through it, all right? So it sounds frou-frou, I know, but I promise it was a good exercise for us to go through. All right, so step one. Come up with scriptures that guide your life. Come up with scriptures that guide your life. I remember Andy did a talk for the teens, 20s, probably 2 years ago now. And he said there are three passages that if he can follow those, his week's going well. Three passages. I think for most of us, we have a handful of passages that guide our lives in everything that we do. Let me share a few of these with you. Start with me in Proverbs 3. We're really close to Psalms, so just turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. I know this is one of Ben's favorite passages in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Have y'all noted how many homes have this knitted and somewhere on the wall? I've seen this in countless homes, because it's an important principle to live by. Live by it. All right, Proverbs 2:1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Again, the idea, receive my words, treasure my commandments. A few other of these I'm just going to remind you of. Probably the most famous verse for families in the whole Bible is Joshua 24:14-15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That psalm, I actually had a friend from Florida College that it was our task. Every time we went to someone's home, we had to find it somewhere. It was either right above the toilet, sometimes in the kitchen, or at the entryway. I have never yet found a home where this Joshua 24:15 is not there. You will not find this one in my home. That was a rule from Jessica and me. There's so many other passages we wanted. We didn't never wanted Joshua 24:15, but it's still a good verse. It's ubiquitous, but it's still a rich verse, right? Because what it's saying is, we are going to serve the Lord. What about Deuteronomy chapter 6? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, that Moses tells the children of Israel, write the Torah on your doorpost. Write it everywhere. Meditate on it day and night. Receive my words. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. The command from Deuteronomy 6 is, always be thinking about the commandments of the Lord. Always be thinking about them. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, likewise, respect your husbands. Another very important verse about it. Let me tell you one that I think may be a bit more, not directly specifically at families, but still may be good to look at. Go with me over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether I come to you and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Isn't that beautiful for family? In one mind, striving together. What about Philippians 3? Philippians 3, again, another one of my favorite passages. Just look at verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. We were in a home of someone this last week, and they had Philippians 2:14 on the mirror in their bathroom. Do all things without grumbling or dispute. Isn't that one important for families? So, brethren, just quick, I'm going to give you just a little bit of time to think through this. What are the passages that either in your life or in your family, you go to and guide your lives? For Andy, I remember one, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What are the passages that either explicitly or implicitly guide your life? Jessica and I had a hard time thinking through this one, because my favorite passages was whatever I'm studying at the time. But we went through it and realized Proverbs 1:7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Above all else that I could point to, I think that is the one that in our home we really try to follow. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. So what are the passages that guide your lives? All right, be thinking about that. So the next step to do here is, as a family, have a conversation about what is your family and who do you want to be? So again, who are you now and who are you trying to be? These are just a lot of questions geared from there. Real quick, if you'll look to page 2 with me. My very last slide is a URL to Art of Manliness. I know this is a website that Otis follows as well as I. It's a really good website. Matt, I know as well. We've talked about some things from it. They have an excellent article that has way more details on this. I drew these questions from this article, so that's where my source is for these questions. And he has quite a few more on there that I just didn't include. But if these are questions you'd like to ask your family, that's where I'd recommend you turn. So here's some questions. What is the purpose of our family? I think really here the question is, what does your family provide that nothing else can? What does your family provide that work can't? What does your family provide that friends can't? What does your family provide that even the church here can't? What does your family, what does your home provide? The church is supposed to work in conjunction with the home, never take its place. The home is supposed to work in conjunction with the church. Same with careers and school, etc. What is the purpose of your home? What's the purpose of your home? I'll go ahead and tell you some of the things that Jessica and I put in our mission statement. Perhaps it's because I've thought of nothing but fruitfulness now for 2 months. But I liken our home to a greenhouse, where whenever you're out in the world, you can take a tomato plant and just put it out on the sidewalk in the scorching heat. Eventually, the sun, the storm, the rain, life is just going to deteriorate that poor thing. But you bring that precious little plant into a greenhouse where you can control the temperature and the sunlight and the water, and you know that plant is safe. And I think that's how I like to think of our home, where it's a greenhouse, where this is a safe place. You can go out in the world and get beat up, but when you're home, you're safe. I was blessed. My parents are here tonight. I'll go and talk about my home growing up. My sister and I both were blessed to be raised in a home where we felt safe at home. Many of you didn't have that luxury growing up, and I know that. But that is an ideal that Jessica and I always want to live by. When we are at home, we're safe. We're a greenhouse. Other things. What kind of family do we want to be? You know, what are the characteristics and the things that we want our family to do? What kind of things do we want to do? Every family has things they enjoy doing together. I think probably for us growing up, it was always the beach and the ocean. We loved, all of us, all four of us, loved just sitting by the ocean, listening to the waves, sitting out on the balcony drinking coffee with 12 cups of sugar in it as a child. I mean, those are memories that as a child I will always treasure. What are things that you enjoy doing together as a family? It always breaks my heart to eat out. Because have you ever counted how many tables every last family is there on their phone? It breaks my heart. Absolutely breaks my heart. This was when cell phones were starting to become popular a few years ago, where everyone had one. Everyone had a smartphone. Jessica and I were out to dinner at IHOP up in Lafayette, and there were two families. We went later at night, so there weren't a lot of people there. There were two families. One family had young kids. They were loud. They were rambunctious. They were having so much fun. Oh, it was great. There was another family that sat there, and it looked like each of them had eaten a lemon, and they were just sitting there on their phones. I wanted to go up to the father and see, do you not see what type of child abuse you're doing here? Your children are begging for your attention. They were, the whole time, they were trying to get their father's attention, even away from the phone, but their father wouldn't give it because he was so into that stupid thing. What do families enjoy doing together? Surely things beyond all sitting in the same room on your phones. Good families have things you enjoy doing together. What are things that you enjoy doing together? It can be eating. We do, we love it. What are things that you enjoy doing together? All right, other questions. What kind of feeling do you want to have in your home? Have y'all ever noticed how every house has a smell to it? My mama and papaw, if they send anything home with me, typically food, my kitchen will smell like my mama's house for 3 days. And I don't even know what the smell is, but my mama's house just has it's not a bad smell, but there is just a smell that if I know it, if I smell this, it's from mama's house. I am probably so immune to my own home and my parents' home, I have no idea what it smells like. But every home has a smell. Whenever you walk in Darlene's house, you smell typically the coffee and the tea and the cookies and probably a candle. It's just warm, right? There's other homes you walk into and it's just like, oh, good gracious, get air freshener. What's the smell of the home? What does your home smell like? What do you want your home to feel like? Okay, next question. What kind of home would you like to invite your friends to? Do you have a house where you would like to invite people over? Okay, other questions. I'm going through these very fast. These are just to get you thinking, y'all. What embarrasses you about our family? Jessica and I talked about things that in 16 years, Brooklyn is probably going to be going, yeah, that's not my daddy. What embarrasses you about your family? Now, not everyone is blessed to have a father as normal as me. What embarrasses you about your family? There's things that embarrass you about your family. It's natural, right? And if you learn to laugh at each other and laugh at yourselves, it's a lot better in the process. You can ask my sister about my metal detector. there's a great story there. What embarrasses you about your family? It's a long story there. What makes you want to come home? What makes you want to come home? I always remember when I was at Florida College, always looking forward to breaks. What makes you want to come home? Many people don't. But what in your home makes you want to come home? What are the unique talents, gifts, and abilities of my family members? Some families are musical. That was not us. I was probably the only one that had a big interest. Mom can sing well, but that was about it. Krista can sing well. Just not musically inclined. She always wanted to play softball. There are some families that love kayaking together. There's some families that enjoy playing basketball together. There's some families that enjoy camping together, cooking together. What is it that your family is able to do well? Who are our heroes? Who are our heroes? Jessica and I, off the bat, named five families that we want our family to be like in 20 years. Five families that immediately when I think, I would love in 20 years to be this family. Because no, they're not perfect, but when I look at all the good things that they have, who are your heroes? Who do you want to be? And the last one is similar. What families inspire us and why do we admire them? All right? So again, y'all, these are just to get you thinking. What is it about family that makes your vine unique? So next step, what are your core values? What are your core values? These are typically never said, but you always live by them. These are always implicit. What core values drive your family? Adventure, education, faith, honesty, humor, service, kindness. What are those core values that drive your family? My papa, I would say his core value is patience. Patience. Just always being patient with each other, being patient with one another. For my granddaddy, it was just work well. Whatever you do, do well. What are the values that drive your home, that keep you together, that keep you moving? Again, this is not an exhaustive list. There's other things Jessica and I came up with that are not on this list. The next one, what are slogans and phrases that drive your family? These are a couple that I found on other sites. I love these. May your first word be adventure and your last word be love. Strong on the inside, at peace on the outside, rising above circumstances and keep going onward. What are the slogans that keep your family together? The phrases that you may say all the time. If you're a Lindsay, it may be you're hearing banjo music. There's all these inside jokes and slogans and things that we say all the time that hold our family together. What are these? Now, these are hard to think through, especially on the spot. Typically, these are ones that about 2 weeks later, you'll realize, oh yeah, we say this all the time. But what are things that in your family you just say all the time and hold your family together? All right? So y'all, the purpose of what I've done so far is just, this is just to get you thinking and talking as a family. What is it that is your, what is your family and what do you want your home to be? Okay? And for you women that live by yourselves, these are still good conversations to have, perhaps with one another over lunch. Is your home a place where your grandkids come, Margaret, where they know that they are always going to be welcome at grandma's house, right? What's the purpose of your home? Even if you live by yourself, your home has a purpose to it, okay? So how then do you go about this? Well, I saw this probably the first time I was in the Key House, and I'm sure many of you have seen this on Bruce and Diane's wall. I asked Diane last night to send me a picture of this. I think she was afraid why. But I love this. This is a wordgram type thing where they have taken phrases, activities, things that hold the family together. They had it really artistically well done, and it's on their wall. So if you're in the Key House, you know that they have bruttles. I had to ask what that is. Diane will tell you. What is a bruttle? You know that they pray together. You, of course, know that they sing together. They do Disney vacations. Hugs and kisses. Forgiveness. I loved this. Before I even knew what a family mission statement was, this is a family mission statement. Things that typify your family and who you are, and ideals to live by. Okay? Perhaps you're going to be really artistic and get something done like this. Or you can be a bit more boring like Jessica and me, who are both immense left brains, and just put it in a list. So I'll share with you, me and Jessica, this is our left brain attempt at a family mission statement. Our home is a castle where wisdom dwells and is pursued. A table where we nourish one another. A tranquil ocean where laughter echoes like waves. A nest where falcons gather. A community where we listen to and live out the scriptures. A Christmas tree where all are warmed. A destination where we are happy together. A port where we pursue our own paths. A greenhouse where we bear fruit. To all who come to this happy place, welcome. So what we did was we just took everything that we talked about and tried to think through, how can we present it? How can we present this to our family so that they know, so that our kids know what the purpose of our home is? I hope that in 12 years our children know our home is a castle where we pursue wisdom. In everything that we do, we are going to pursue wisdom. Our home is a table where you are expected to be at dinner. It's not optional. And you're going to put your phone away, and you're going to talk and share and be a part of the community and be nourished by one another. It's a tranquil ocean. This was the one we struggled most with because we realized there was a paradox. We want our home to be peaceful, but we also want it to be chaotic. We don't want our home to just be boringness where no one ever makes a noise, right? You've heard my daughter. That's never going to happen. But we also don't want our home to just be chaos and conflict. And as we thought through this, it's the ocean. The ocean's not quiet, but it's tranquil. And likewise, I hope in our home there is laughter that echoes in the walls. But that laughter is a good, soothing, peaceful noise that gives us joy. Okay? Waves. What is your home? What is your home? What's the purpose of it? And I'll explain this last line in there. Bruce is probably the only one in here that gets it. To all who come to this happy place, welcome. In 1955, whenever Walt Disney opened Disneyland, that was his first line. To all who come to this happy place, welcome. And that's what I hope our children feel like. It's a destination where you come to and are nourished and filled and learn. So, I ask you, brethren, what is the purpose of your home? What's the purpose of your home? It needs to have a purpose, or else something else is going to take its place. What's the purpose of your home? But y'all can be getting your songbooks out at this time. Thank you all for your kind attention tonight. I know this sermon was very different from most things I've presented, but I do hope it's helpful. I will say for Jessica and me, having this conversation was very helpful, because just trying to talk about and figure out what are the rules and the norms that govern our house, what are failings that we have that we need to work on, just putting all this together at least just helped us to have the conversation so that we could have these ideals to live by. Hopefully you'll do the same. Hopefully this was helpful. All right. And if you're ever willing to share yours, I'd love to see it. Love to see what you come up with and see how you categorize your home. Well, brethren, for the invitation tonight, of course, we've talked very little about the cross, but understand that the reason that the home is so important to the Christian is because it exemplifies the love of Jesus that he showed. And it's through the home that we experience love like God has had for his children. And it's where we experience discipline like the Father gives to his children. And it's where we experience instruction like the Father gives his children. The home is patterned after God's own relationship with us. And what a loving, just God that we serve, who would have us in his home as his children for eternity. What a beautiful picture it is. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this evening, come forward while we stand and sing.